Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yes, it pays to have good credit. Absolutely, no question.
Steele, thank you so much for joining this episode, man.
Hey, Chris, pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You know, before I reached out to you, man, I actually had a few customers of mine who signed up for my credit repair service. And most of these people are trying to fix their credit because they want to start a business in the future, or maybe they have a business, but they want to get some sort of business funding. So a lot of times, man, they need credit scores to kind of be in a good area in order to get qualified for some of that business funding out there. And a lot of times people do not consider using credit to improve their business or, you know, scale up their business. And for sure, I know for a fact, a lot of people do not consider marketing to help them grow. So I could not have thought of anyone else besides you, the expert in marketing, to help those people out there who are listening to this episode or watching. And maybe we can kind of help them out with some tips to improve their business skills, you know?
Yeah, Chris, 100%, man. And again, thank you for having me on this show. Really appreciate it. You know, it's really good to talk to your audience, talk to everybody who is in, you know, your space of credit repair, or anybody that's tuning in that's not in credit repair. Maybe you have a small business where you're a roofer or a plumber, or, you know, you're something like a local service. You know, I'm going to basically, throughout this podcast, and I'm not sure exactly what Chris is going to ask me, but I'm going to give away every secret that I can possibly give you, from very free marketing tips to more advanced steps that are more paid, more like you want to get an expert involved. But I'm going to run the gamut. I'm just going to try to give as much value as I possibly can to everybody that's listening
out there. Okay. Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. So let's just, before we even give advice, what got you into marketing? So what got you into this?
Yeah. So, you know, it started when I was about 8 years old. It was a long time ago. I don't give my age away, but I was, back in 1997, I built my very first free website on one of these little free website platforms. And, you know, back then that was a big deal. People just weren't doing that. And I've kind of dabbled in various marketing. I made music when I was a teenager. I marketed that back in the MySpace days. And then as I got older, you know, every kind of like business opportunity, every job I had involved marketing, and I would always gravitate towards it. But I never really understood that what I was doing was actually marketing the entire time. You know, I'd make Facebook posts for, you know, different people I'd work for, build like simple websites for people. And I never like thought, oh, I'm doing marketing. I was just kind of like, okay, this is a means to an end. I know this is effective. But, you know, the opportunity came. I was kind of in between jobs. This is back in 2020 during the whole pandemic thing. And, you know, I did a lot of studying. I did a lot of learning new skills, new techniques to do it professionally. Like I said, I've done it for a long time, but professionally marketing is a lot different for somebody else's business. So, you know, I read up and I studied that. I linked up with a really good partner who is excellent at graphics, making anything pretty. Her name is Sarah. She's very talented. So her and I joined forces, and, you know, that's how Atypical Marketing came about. And the reason we are atypical is, and I don't know if I'm talking too much, Chris. You can tell me I can, you know, you need to ask.
No, this is all you.
Right. I just wanted to make sure. But the reason we're atypical is because when we got into this industry, we saw everybody else out there, and I'm not going to dog on any other marketing companies on this show, but the truth of the matter is this. A lot of these people are not return on investment centric. What does that mean?
Yep.
It means that if you put your money into marketing, they're not invested in you making your money back. So we're atypical,
right?
Because every penny you put with us is designed to give you your money back and more.
Man, I love that, man. That's, I mean, just from hearing that just makes me want to, you know, use y'all for services for marketing, which kind of leads to my next question. How many different types of marketing is out there? You know, for example, I know they got billboards. Some people are for, some people are against it. I know if you own like an online service, billboards are kind of useless versus if you were like a landscaping company or a car detailer. So what are the different types of marketing for somebody that, you know, have no idea what they're doing or they just don't know where to invest?
Right, Chris, great question, man. I would break it down basically like this. So you have like your legacy marketing, or even you can call it advertising, because these things kind of overlap a little bit. And this is when, like, yeah, you know, you go to a newspaper and you get a classified ad, or you get a whole banner in the newspaper, you know, and people still do this. There's nothing wrong with this kind of advertising or marketing, but it's definitely more legacy. Right. It's more old school, more for established brands. Usually they'll add this kind of marketing to like a $1 million portfolio they have of other types of avenues they market. You know, then you got billboards. Billboards are pretty similar. The pros of billboards is that you can reach a lot of people at one time.
Okay.
The cons are these aren't targeted people. It's just whoever, yep, drives by your sign, looks out the window and says, oh, look at that, and they read it. And look, this could be effective. I'm not, like I said, I'm not dogging on any of these methods, but that right. is the main drawback of some of these legacy types of advertising and marketing. Then you have digital marketing, and I'll give you the pros and cons of digital marketing. The pros of digital marketing, and it's a vast, vast arena of different services, different products. You know, you have social media, you have Google search engine optimization, which is a fancy word. We'll talk about that later. Pay-per-click advertising. That's when you put an ad on top of Google and you pay every time somebody clicks on it. Facebook ads, you know, and there's other avenues, video creation, graphics. We can go on and on. The pros with digital marketing is that it's more targeted to your audience, which means that if you want to advertise on Facebook to people that are like 25 to 35 who fit a certain profile, and we'll talk more about, you know, customer personas and things like that and your ideal client. But if you want to target these exact people, you can do that. You have that option. You can target cities. You can target, like, you know, really small areas or really large areas. It's your call, whatever makes more sense for your business. Really the cons are this, some people do view the more legacy things like a newspaper or a commercial on TV or a billboard. They may view them as, in a weird way, legitimized because they've been around so long, they're tried and true. And when you see something on a billboard, that's, you know, that's a pretty cool feeling. So that's really the only main con. But at the end of the day, the important thing is you're getting your message across. People are understanding your brand and they're wanting to do business with you. So I think digital marketing, I'm a little biased, but I think this is the best avenue, especially for a new business owner to go in to advertise their business.
Okay. Yeah. That was actually my next question. You know, for those who are watching this episode or listening to this episode, you may have some people who are more of a online business like drop shipping or, you know, any type of online service. And then you may have some who are watching and listening to this who are maybe more of a local business, like a car detailer, a landscaper, or a roofing company. So in your experience, if I was a new business owner for both type of businesses, I'm gonna start with online services. Which type of marketing do you believe is best for online services? Would you just jump straight into social media, digital marketing?
Sure. Without question, it's not even a question. If you're a brand new business owner who wants to make the most impact, it's got to be digital marketing straight up.
Okay.
Here's why. Here's why. You can literally start digital marketing like this week and get results like at the end of the week. If you put money into advertising, if you put money into pay-per-click, even social media management, if you, you know, need somebody to basically make social media posts for you that, that will convert people that are looking at it into people that message you and eventually become your customers.
Right.
I mean, you can get clients pretty quickly. Whereas a lot of these legacy types of advertising, number one, they're expensive. Okay, straight up. Most business owners nowadays are small businesses. We're on a shoestring budget.
Yep.
I'm not afraid to say this. I've financed part of my business to start. You know, not very much, but just enough to kickstart it and get it going. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you're spending your money intelligently and there's a plan, there's a method behind the madness, you know, that's okay. You got to do what you got to do to get rolling. But
you
know, without a doubt, man, digital marketing is where it's at as far as advertising and branding.
Okay. Well, it's funny you said financing, and which goes back to, you know, using credit. Man, when I first started the credit repair business, I just had no idea of all the different things and requirements you needed. For example, here in Louisiana or each state that you work in, you have to have a credit repair bond. And the credit repair bond amount for Louisiana is $100,000. Now, that $100,000, you pay a percentage of that. I think here in Louisiana is, you know, anywhere between 1 to 10% based on your credit. So luckily, by me having good credit, mine only cost $1,000 to get my credit repair bond in Louisiana. And then once I started expanding in different states, of course, legally, I had to get a bond in each state that I accept clients from. But man, starting from day one, I was working at the car dealership, and man, there was just no way I could have paid for these bonds, softwares, websites. And most importantly, man, I never wanted to be one of those Facebook credit guys and posting every day, hey, you know, slide in my DM to fix your credit or something like that. I wanted to go straight in as a legit business. You know, before I even started Sturgis Credit Repair, I kind of basically study, you know, legit businesses or bigger businesses. Doesn't matter if it's credit repair or not. I just study what these businesses does. And man, marketing is the key thing. So the very first thing I did was I applied for a credit card through Capital One. It was a Saver One or Saver credit card. Yeah. Man, that gave me a $30,000 credit limit when I was just working at the car dealership. And I mean, my scores were like 720, 730, something like that. And that credit card, it gave like 2 to 3% cash back. It gave me like $300 or $500 if I spent like $5,000 in the first 90 days or something crazy like that. That was easy. And on top of that, it was 0% interest for 18 months. So I literally used my credit to start my business. And man, I paid no interest because I paid it off within maybe 8 or 9 months because, dude, I just went heavy into marketing. And I ran Facebook ads, Google ads, YouTube ads. And man, before you know it, I was able to quit the car dealership in like 2 months. And man, Sturgis Credit Repair has just kicked off ever since. And, you know, I now accept clients in all 50 states. And, you know, we're just steady growing. But man, if it wasn't for credit and marketing, I mean, I probably don't think I would have, you know, expanded the way I did, you know.
Wow. Yeah, man, that's an incredible story there. And you know, credit doesn't have the right reputation. It has a reputation of getting the credit card debt. And it's just not the case if you're a savvy business owner who comes out the gate swinging with a plan. You know, everybody who's at a high level, or at least the people that I talk to, they utilize credit to their advantage and they make it a smart financial. So, yeah, man, I talk to you, dude. I sold cars. I know what that's about.
Right. Well, the thing is with these small business owners, okay, let's start back before that, before it's a small business. So you have a lot of people before their business is a small business or a business in general, it's more of a side hustle, right? And the hardest part about business believe it or not, is first, of course, finding out what your business name is going to be. That takes forever. But the hardest part is going from zero to the point where you no longer have to work a day job, or, you know, you no longer have to stress. And man, I see so many people complain about, oh man, no one's sharing my post, or I have family and friends, they're not supporting me and they're not tagging me in different things. And I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's going to suck to hear this, but it's not your family or your friend's job to help your business grow. You know, when I started Sturgis Credit Repair, I never even thought of, okay, I'm just going to create a Facebook page and a website. I'm just going to rely on my friends and family. Hopefully they share my post every day. Man, I didn't care about that. I went deep into marketing, and man, so many people just do not think about marketing. Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess because, you know, people have a misconception about business. I think a lot of times everybody wants to dot their I's and
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Cross their T's. They want to make sure they got the right color pen to write contracts. They want to make sure they got a filing cabinet. They want to make sure, you know, they have everything done to where it's like everything's crystal clear. Now we can get clients. And I think it's a big procrastination. And I'm not saying your audience is like this, but I know to an extent I was like this a little bit. I wanted everything perfect before I dumped any money into marketing. But the truth is, when you're in business, now you want to do things correctly. I don't want you to read into what I'm saying too much, but you got to like run and almost break things and see what fits, what doesn't fit, and then go from there and then double down on what's successful for you. And when it comes to marketing, it's just so fundamental. You know, you can have everything correct, but if you're not bringing eyes to your service, your product, it's just, you're not going to make money. It's just so fundamental. And I'm going to add a little bit more to your point as well. Somebody's out there and, you know, they just started a business. I just want you to know, Chris has been in your shoes. I've been in your shoes too, where it's like, man, we got to go get clients. We got to go, you know, make some money and give our service and help people. But how do we do it? Yes, I think it's a great idea to talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to your acquaintances.
Of course.
I would not drive, you know, your business down their throats. I don't think that's right. But I would definitely, you know, start conversations and start offering your services like a discounted rate perhaps, and get some reviews, man. You know, get some feedback from people. That's what's going to propel you going forward in the future. So I just wanted to mention that too, in case somebody's out there and doesn't know how to get started to get clients.
Yeah.
At least you get your first couple of clients that way.
Okay. Well, I have a fun one for you. So we're both in two industries where I guess people who are starting a business don't really consider. One is credit, and then of course, second is marketing. So in the credit industry, I hear so much, man, about people who are like, oh, cash is king. You don't need credit. And then I'm sure in your market, you hear word of mouth is your best form of marketing. Never pay for marketing, never pay for ads. So I know I get annoyed when, you know, outdated sources are like, you know, cash is king. You know, of course, that is more like the Dave Ramsey clientele. I get that. People that's messed themselves up because they use credit incorrectly. And then you have the people that are like, you know, the best marketing is word of mouth. How do you switch a person Or I guess, why do people say, you know, the best marketing is word of mouth? Are they just comfortable to the 5 or 10 clients they get a month just from referrals and word of mouth, and they just do not see themselves scaling a business? Is that why they say that, you think?
So you've definitely done your research. I can't count how many times I've heard, no, man, it's all word of mouth. It's fine. It's going to catch on. And I know your industry, you know, you got the Dave Ramsey crowd who is making, you know, credit cards like this evil thing, and it's really not. You know, you just have to know how to use
right.
it. I think most people default to like the very, very easiest route where there's like some semblance of truth to it, but it's not really the full truth. Yep. By any means. Like, yes, there is one school of thought that if you don't do anything with credit cards, you're not going to get into credit card debt. There's zero possibility. Well, right. Yeah, sure, but you know, yeah. It's going to be a very slow growth period for you if you're trying to grow a business with no credit.
Right.
There is some semblance of truth that word of mouth is going to grow your business. Absolutely. Yeah, you want to do a good job. You want people to like you and like your service. But I would take it a step further. If word of mouth grows your business, why not publicize the word of mouth? Publicize the reviews people give you. Publicize, you know, the good work you're doing. And put some content up, you know, social media content, you know, run some ads that put your best foot forward and shows exactly what you're doing for your clientele. So I wouldn't, you know, for your clients, I wouldn't stop at Dave Ramsey. I would explore some more. Yeah, fine. You get it. Don't go into credit card debt. That's frivolous. Okay, great.
Yep.
But also with marketing, don't stop with just word of mouth. Capitalize on that word of mouth. Make it mean something once you get it.
Right. And another thing that discourages people is, I guess, if you're starting a small business, is competition in your local area that are, you know, businesses that are bigger than you. For example, you know, I tell people all the time, I never worry about who else does credit repair around me, because look at it this way. There are 331 million people in the United States right now. Last time I checked, it may be more than that now, but who cares? There's a Walmart in every single city in America, if not five of them. And every Walmart is making millions and millions of dollars every single month. Outside of Walmart, you got these smaller grocery stores. Like here in Louisiana, we have Rouse's, you have Winn-Dixie, you have whatever, Target and things like that. Walmart is not affecting their clientele. So with marketing, I think it's very important that you don't worry about who else does the same thing in your neighborhood. You know, I think with marketing, the best thing you can do is figure out, you know, who your clientele is and you know, how to find them. So based on you with your experience with marketing, how important is it to find your ideal market or your specific clientele, and how do you narrow down to find those people or to figure out which clientele is yours?
Yeah. So first thing I want to say about that is, Chris, if you ever want to expand into a different industry, I think you'd be amazing at marketing, because you know, that entire thing about, you know,
okay.
there's Walmart's on every corner. And that's exactly right.
Yeah.
For good reason. And then you got Target right next door, but both of these companies are multi-billion dollar companies. They're gigantic.
Right.
So, you know, that takes away the thought process of, oh, well, there's everything saturated. I mean, yeah, everything is pretty much saturated. So what you have to do is you have to find who your ideal client is. You have to picture, you know, their age, their demographic, where are they located? What are their wants and needs? You know, what is their day-to-day life like? And the way that you do that is you just talk to people. You talk to people, and you can go search for studies on Google as well that has like buying personas. You can go Google that right now, like the buying persona for credit repair.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a big thing to pop up, and you can judge based on that. But I think that the best way for somebody just starting out is just talk to people, find, like, kind of learn about them and their values and what matters to them, and also their goals and where they're trying to go in life. And once you do that, and once you can mesh that with your brand and your marketing and your message, you know, that's key. That's going to be gold for you, right. And you're going to get sales based on that.
Right. Based on you being in the market, of course, with marketing or the industry, how often does marketing change? Because, man, when I first started my credit repair business 5-6 years ago, however long, well, 5 years ago, man, it was literally as simple as making ads, you know, with a flyer, you know, just showing, hey, if you have credit issues and you have these certain items on your credit report, contact Sturgis Credit Repair, we can help you, you know, do things on your behalf as a service, blah, blah, blah. And people will sign up. And then 2 years later, it was more like, you know, people want to see a flyer. They wanted to see a picture of your face on the flyer to make sure you're a real business. And then after that, man, 2 or 3 years later, people no longer cared about that. They wanted to see results. And then after that, nobody cared about screenshots of results. You know, people just stopped responding to it. And then these companies, Lexington Law Firm, they're like the biggest credit repair company out there. And I noticed they start making these little 30-second video or clip art animated videos. And man, they're getting like 200,000 comments on it because it just grabs people's attention. So I guess flyers and pictures and screenshots are like the past of marketing, is now it's more like animated videos. So how often does this change and why?
Yeah, look, awesome question there. So marketing is constantly evolving. You know, you'll see trends like video has always been a big deal in like 2015, 2016, but it's just exploded. Right. And I don't have the data in front of me, but I've read studies on this. Video is really where you want to go in 2024 if you're going to market your business. I don't know what happened in the marketplace, but that just connects more. And I have a couple of theories on that. I think that once a marketplace gets saturated with one form of advertising, people just kind of get blind to it. You know, like, yeah, fine. You showed results. And I think results are still very important. Don't get me wrong. But it's how you portray those results. You know, are you just spitting numbers at people nonstop, or are you kind of explaining those numbers and explaining those figures and explaining those results in a more digestible way? Like, you know, you've noticed lately reels, like TikTok has exploded. Obviously, we all know about TikTok.
Yeah.
But for a while, some people thought that was a fad. That was a fad for like teenagers and people in their early 20s. And now you got senior citizens on TikTok.
Right.
So, hell, podcast. Hey, we're on a podcast right now, you know.
Right.
I mean, 10 years ago, if you were on a podcast, it was like, all right, that's different. Now it's like, man, if you're on a podcast. So I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, you're good. I say, yeah, that's something I struggle with today, is just adapting to change. You know, when all this stuff changed with marketing, you know, and I can do a lot of things myself, but man, you know, for example, I just got fed up with the animated video things, you know, like our most recent ad video. I just hired you guys at a typical to just, you know, make it work. And man, it has outperformed every little screenshot of results or flyers that I've ever made in the past. And, you know, from now on, I'm just going to use you guys as a, I guess, an ad campaign service and just make content for me, because I just can't keep up anymore. You know, and another thing, these social media apps, every single year, there's a new app that you have to download, put your business on, because back then you used to just on Facebook and just post stuff. And, you know, you get social media leads or social media customers, and then Instagram, and then YouTube, and then TikTok and Snapchat. So I guess, how do people manage all of these different apps? Let's say if I had a marketing budget of, I don't know, $3,000 a month. Do I say I have 10 apps that my business is on and just split that $3,000 among all 10 apps? Or should I just do one app this month, $3,000? Next month, go from Facebook to Instagram. Next month, put the $3,000 to YouTube. Next month, put the $3,000 to TikTok. You know, based on your experience with just social media marketing, what is idea these days with the amount of apps they have now?
Yeah, so excellent question there. Here's where I would start. Okay, everybody needs a starting point. the three biggest apps right now, Facebook. You already knew that answer. Facebook's number one.
Yeah.
Then you got Instagram, and then you got TikTok.
Yep.
Then you got a bunch that are under it. And I mean, these are important, but I wouldn't focus immediately on just like doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on, say, Snapchat. I'm not saying Snapchat's bad, but it's kind of like you have to research, and you have to basically trial and error and find out which platform's going to work best for your brand. Now, I might recommend Snapchat to an e-com brand, for instance. That's a great avenue. And it also depends on what the demographics are of each network. I like to think of Facebook as a Walmart. Everybody goes to Facebook. It's like the common meeting place. Every age group, every demographic. Instagram skews a little bit younger. That's kind of like your target. You know, it's a little more hip. It's still kind of, you know, mainstream, but a little more hip. And then TikTok is, I don't really have a store for TikTok, but it's kind of like a younger vibe, a younger place to, you know, vibe. And it's good for short form videos under 90 seconds.
Exactly.
And if you want a younger crowd, that's where you want to go. So it's all about just finding out where your ideal client hangs out online. And once you find that out, then I would double and triple down on that exact medium.
Okay. Do you think there is a such thing as a rule for, I guess, a percentage of your income should go towards marketing? Is that like a real thing? Is there a number that, you know, each business is supposed to dump towards marketing each month?
Yeah, sure. So at the end of the day, it's whatever amount of money it's going to take to make sure that your investment means something. So if you're putting, you know, month after month, $1,000 into marketing, you want that to represent $2,000, $3,000 at least in more revenue for your business. You know, I like to say if you wanted to give somebody, say, $100,000 and you knew that they were going to double and triple that every single month, is there really amount that you would stop giving them? You know, it just, as long as somebody's making good decisions with your money and it's coming from an investment standpoint, I don't think there's really any kind of limit. Now, if you want the textbook definition, I can tell you that. Experts recommend anywhere from 10 to 20% of your revenue for marketing expenses. And I think that's reasonable. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But I would say make it make sense for your business. Every business is unique. And, you know, there's no dead set percentage necessarily, at least from what I'm observing in the marketplace.
Okay. So let's talk about a typical marketing for a second. Let's say anybody that's listening or watching this episode would like to hire you guys to help their business scale up. So what services do you guys offer? You know, and what type of businesses do y'all market to? Is it any businesses that y'all would help or, you know, tell us a little about that.
Yeah, sure. So, like I said earlier, I'm co-owner of Atypical Marketing. My other co-owner's name is Sarah. Okay. And we do a lot of different services. Okay. I personally focus mostly on consulting. You know, I'll talk to the business owners. I'll find out who their customer base is, what their needs are, and develop a specialized plan from there. Sarah's really good at implementing. She designs websites. She does logo design. You know, anything graphic related, making something look presentable, making it look really nice. She is a complete professional with that. I don't have that skill. I wish I did. But she is the one to go to. I'm more on the back end where if it has to do with search engine optimization, ads, or anything that's kind of technical, you know, that's more my department. And of course, I talk to all the business owners. It's really important that I understand where you're coming from and where you want to go. That way we can get on the same page and put together a good plan. But as far as services, you know, you name it, Google My Business Services, you know, we'll put you on the Google map. We build e-com websites. We build service-based business websites, you know, things for like plumbers, electricians, landscapers, car detailers. We built a physiologist a website recently. I didn't know what a physiologist did until we built a website and worked on our marketing. Right. And of course, credit repair. We work on, we do marketing for credit repair companies. You name it. Yeah, a little bit of all of them. You know, we attempt to really understand your industry and, kind of make it come full circle to where we're all on the same page. That's really important to us.
Okay. Got one thing for you. What is up with all of this chat, GTP, PT, whatever it is, and AI and all this nonsense? Is this like the new age of, is marketing changing again to where it's robots doing everything for you? What is this stuff?
Yeah. Like AI is incredible. If I can put it, I know that's an overused word, but it's really incredible what AI is able to do. I mean, you can type this thing in, it can do calculations for you. It can figure out complex problems. It can even draw pictures. You can type in any of these AI forms, whether it's ChatGPT or if you go to Bing, I think Bing has their own AI thing. Type in some words, describe a picture. You can type in pink bunny riding a unicycle and give it 10 seconds to pop out a picture of a pink bunny riding a unicycle. now, I'll say this. I think there's always going to be some human interaction with marketing, right, and with business and with sales, because at the end of the day, we're all humans. I like to think of AI as a really good tool that builds like the frame of the house, but it doesn't build the entire house. It just kind of gives you a little bit of a head start,
right,
on something if you need some help. That's pretty much what AI is in a nutshell.
Well, man, that answered a lot of questions. I mean, this entire episode, I mean, I even learned some stuff. I mean, of course, the questions I'm asking you are mainly for both of our audience out there that's listening or watching this. But, man, I've learned so much just, with some things I may can do to, help myself with some things. I guess if anyone's watching or listening this, what is the best way for somebody that owns a business to get in touch with a typical, either you or Sarah? What is the best way that they can do, or, how can they find you guys? Just go on your website or call, or what's the best thing to do?
Yeah, Chris, great question. So I did put this TV here, and if you're able to scan that, I'm not sure how big the frame is. You can scan that.
It's up there.
Okay. You can also go to atypicalmarketing.com. And you can fill out a form on the bottom of our page. You can also schedule a 30-minute free consult with somebody on our team. If you want to call us, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do this anyway. This is my direct cell phone. Call me. Text me. Okay. I want to talk to as many people as I possibly can, and I'll do it as long as I possibly can do that for. 702-582-1650. That's my personal cell phone number. Text me. And let's schedule a meeting. Let's get together. Let's talk about everywhere that you want to take your business and get an action plan on how to do it. So I'm ready.
Okay.
Hit me up and we'll make it happen.
Well, still, man, thank you so much for joining this episode, man. And like I said, you've literally answered every single question that I've had and added some things, So, I definitely appreciate you for joining. But before I let you go, I got one last question. Do you think it pays to have good credit?
Absolutely. It pays to have good credit. It's not even a question. I heard what you said. And I'm like, what? Yeah. It definitely pays to have good credit. Good question.
Okay. Just want to make sure, man. But like I said, thank you so much for joining, man. And hopefully we got some people that's watching or listening to this. They'll go check out you guys' website and you can help them scale up those businesses, man. And, like I said, hopefully we can do this again in the future when marketing changes again and probably in the next 6 months.
Sounds awesome, Chris. I really appreciate the invite, man. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take it easy.
You too, man. Take care.